That was music from His Golden Messenger on Kaleidoscope on 91.3 WYSO. I am Juliet Frumholt, joined in the studio by a frequent guest of the program, Dave Obenauer, editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. Welcome.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome back, I should say.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
From time to time, when Ghetto Blaster has a new issue out, Dave comes in, tells us what he's been checking out, what music has caught the ears of he and his writers, what's new and interesting, what they're covering. We compare notes on music, if you will, live on the air, and he's always got some good surprises for us. So tell me about the latest issue. What's been sort of the highlight reel of what you guys covered?
Oh, man. Well, a great place to start out, and you said it was somebody that you've been playing frequently to, His Golden Messenger. That was who you just heard from. An amazing music festival is where I got turned on to him, the Nelsonville Music Fest in Athens, Ohio, which I will not be able to attend in 2015 because my brother's getting married.
Well, I guess.
But yeah, I was just blown away. Nelsonville does a great job curating their events, and like it's almost clockwork when I come back from them. Just a new artist that we bring into the magazine. So I was excited to get them. And I think we're going to start out the next block with another artist that I got turned into. Maybe it was 2 years ago there, Steve Gunn. But they're both just really kind of interesting sort of acoustic troubadours, kind of in the line of John Fahey, but just interesting to see how they each take it in a different direction. Like I know in the interview we did with Golden Messenger, just talking about how it's not necessarily about musicianship to him. Like, he's not trying to become a virtuoso on the guitar and blow your mind. It's more about the song and the vibe that he can take with it.
Sort of that. There's sort of those, like, two schools of modern. And I mean, well, honestly, I could use the term modern very loosely. There's sort of two schools of folk music, you know, some of which it's very much about the message over the musicianship, and others of which it's very much about the musicianship and being that virtuoso on the guitar, and the message is secondary to that.
Sure, and it's interesting to see how there's no right answer on
right. Either
of those. Like, you can get a guy who strongly believes in his message that you should shop at the farmer's market, or you can get someone who is an amazing talent, but you're just kind of left sitting there thinking, wow, I can't do that. But is there a song somewhere hidden underneath all this fretboard noodling?
Yeah, yeah. And it's there's a value in both, I will say.
Yeah.
And we've definitely seen artists over the years sort of fall on either sides of those lines, and the very rare ones that can sort of stand on the line and proclaim their place with a foot in both camps there.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, no, it's interesting to see how they both, I don't know, like, just thinking about the acoustic guitar in general, like all the, I don't envy any singer-songwriter, singer-songwriter who's just there with a guitar, like, wow, that, you have stripped it down to just you, buddy. And I know, I don't know if you're familiar with James Toth?
Yeah.
Wooden Wand? But, like, I loved his freaky, weird, hippie stuff when he had all the guitar effects and pedals and stuff. And then he was like, I'm going to be Bob Dylan.
Yeah.
And, maybe.
Yeah, that was a shift for him.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's a huge shift. And, you know, it definitely different strokes for different folks. But yeah, it's just interesting to see all the different places that you can take just that very simple equation.
Well, let's take a listen to the Steve Gunn track right now. This one's called Millie's Garden. We're going to hear that and a few more tunes, and we'll be back to talk more with Dave. We've got all kinds of new music in store for you. I'm super excited about the list I hold in my hands. So stay tuned to Kaleidoscope on WYSO.
Thank you. this silence there is hard to compare. A final hole in your bitter soil. No wonder who will see the devil's child to be as your man hangs in the yard.
Decorated vet killed buy a soda, a drink. A diabetic battle against a colorful bottle that he was powerless to dump down the sink. Does anyone remember nickel candy? It used to melt in the crevices of the backseat of my car. It was sticky and it was horrid, but I miss it and I can't afford it. And my kids don't care about nickel candy or me anymore. My mailman is a woman who's a cult devotee. She's an expert in spraying mace, dogs and dealers in the face. On her way to deliver piles of junk to me. Workmen just tore down our local Taco Bell. Goodbye, tuber beans. Hello, New Walgreens. The cyclical nature of life in a living. Does anyone remember nickel candy? It used to melt in the crevices of the backseat of my car. It was sticky, then it was horrid. But I miss it, and I can't afford it. My kids don't care about nickel candy or me. To perform to audiences for pay. But now my only show is the meeting to which I go 3 times a week. It's called AA. I stand and tell the folks there that I'm a drunk, but they're tired of my hit, my I blew it all bit. And if I can't win over those losers, I'm sunk. Does anyone remember nickel candy? It used to melt in the crevices of the backseat of my car. It was sticky. It's horrid, but I miss it and I can't afford it. And my kids don't care about nickel candy or me anymore.
That was music from Neil Hamburger. It's called Nickel Candy. Neil Hamburger is one of the artist performers, characters, people. I don't even know. How do you describe him, Dave?
He's America's funny man.
He is. We're talking to Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. They've got a new issue out, and we are, as we do from time to time, sitting down, chatting about some of the music that he and his writers have been covering, some of the new finds, the discoveries, all that good stuff. Let's talk a little more about Neil Hamburger and this new release.
Neil Hamburger. Well, it's interesting. We were talking about this off the air, but Neil Hamburger. Spoiler alert, is a character.
Spoiler alert.
His real name is Greg Turkington. But when I did the interview with him, and this is one that I handled myself, being the intrepid reporter that I am, he wanted to, the only way he would do the interview is in character, which was bizarre. I've never done an interview in character before, and it felt like I was participating in a bit. But no, it was a very interesting interview. He was as acidic and as insightful as you might be surprised for him to be. He's a sharp wit, but he had some really interesting things to say. Like, I mean, we've definitely lost some people that are similar vein as him, with Joan Rivers, very cutting comedian, Robin Williams, just had some interesting things to say about both of them, as well as some cheap pot shots to take at the Red Hot Chili Peppers and 311 and artists such as that. So that was a real pleasure to take. Neil has been just vastly entertaining performer. I think I've seen him twice now in Cincinnati and once up in Cleveland, and each time it's been a real pleasure. And he started doing these, it started maybe 4 years ago, I want to say. He did a record called Neil Hamburger Sings Country Winners, where he just did a bunch of country songs, and a couple of those carried over to the new album, First of Dismay. And he had a disco song, Endless Roll, and that obviously was what we heard, was a little more country-y. So that, along with bits, but always a good time with Neil.
And this is sort of, we've talked in the past about you guys sort of expanding into covering some comedy stuff, and this sort of toes that again sort of like balances on that line between music and comedy, some of the stuff that he's been doing. And he's always been kind of a presence in the music community. I mean, I can remember seeing him on Tenacious D's early HBO shorts and things like that as well.
Yeah, it's interesting too, just like he is definitely one that tours with rock bands, which got to talk to him a little bit about that, and just how it's really a nice situation, because you get people, if you play at a rock club, you're going to get people that are there to see you predominantly. You don't have, it's like a comedy club, you get the built-in crowd. You get the, you know, Friday night after work crowd. So Neil may not do as well with that, because he's got this whole like greasy comb over, holding four glasses and hacking up his lung while he delivers his horrible and sometimes completely unfunny lines, which is just the whole thing of it. But that might not work so well in a comedy club. But like, if he's performing at, you know, Canal Public House, or down at the Southgate House, or Grog Shop in Cleveland, people are going to be there to see Neil. So they're going to be kind of in on the joke.
He's got a Kaufman-esque quality in that way.
He absolutely does.
Now, before Neil Hamburger, we heard Holy Sons doing Transparent Powers. Tell me about those guys.
Oh, that's an amazing song. Whenever I get really stressed out, which happens, it's such a chill song. Like, the bass on that is just such an incredible, deep, sort of ocean-y sound almost in some of its resonance. But that's, I believe his name's Emil, and he is also in Grails and Om. So, you know, you get that sort of atmospheric, kind of repetitive, and chanty sort of music.
Yeah,
in there.
That kind of same quality as the kind of drone-y metal and things like that as well.
Yeah, yeah. But like this and it was interesting too, like in the interview, like he was just talking about like a lot of the people he was referencing. He mentioned GBV like three times.
Oh, wow.
He mentioned Sebado. But it's like, wow, you know, you kind of pigeonhole these people like, oh, he probably listens to a bunch of 70s cult bands that mm-hmm. like released 500 LPs back in the day. Or it's like, no, and it's interesting too to see him listen to that music and see how that kind of indie sensibility is mixed in there. And just, you know, on a label like Thrill Jockey, which put out the new record, like they also kind of toe that line between some of the more established metal or some of the more like deep cut metal. But also, you know, they've got their indie royalty too with Sea and Cake and Tortoise and Fiery Furnaces and artists like that.
Now, who's the cover artist this time around?
It's Shabazz Palaces. Shabazz, I don't know. No, none of you know. None of you are going to correct me. Maybe you do. I apologize. But yeah, no, these guys are super rad. You may know Ishmael used to be in Diggable Planets, who had a song back in the 90s called The Rebirth of Slick. Totally blew up. He was a Seattle artist, moved out to New York to join this group. Their second album came out. It was much darker, much more esoteric, and it kind of just took everyone off guard and, you know, may have been one of the things that ended up with them breaking out. But it was a really nice precursor to what some of the things he was going to go on to do. And with this project, he's moved back to Seattle. This is the second album they've done for Sub Pop, which, again, we're talking about, you know, a label that's kind of toeing the line, that's doing, you know, pulling from electronica, pulling from hip hop, pulling from rock. You know, I mean, they had what, Mudhoney, Nirvana, and all these artists, but now they're putting out stuff like this, so it's just exciting to see these sort of different variances.
Well, let's take a listen to this one right now. You're hearing it on Kaleidoscope on member supported 91.3 WYSO Yellow Springs, Dayton, Springfield, and online at wyso.org. WYSO is a community service of Antioch College for the Miami Valley and beyond. This is the cover artist on the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. It's Shabazz Palaces, or Shabazz Palaces, doing their song Cake.
Sorcerer. TK. They gon' always slice my portion, bro. TK. Sent the Gumby to a Vacian Smurf. TK. I get the green and Sinix pink purse. TK. I drew it up to put him in the dirt. TK. Boys give me the plan words. TK. To all my hustlers, goons, that is all. TK. Secret meetings in the stratosphere. TK.
Gift walk away, let it waver. Why not savor the flavor?
Berlin, Detroit, Calabar, Momar, Dallas, Atlanta, O-Town, Addis, Gaza, Ramallah, Seattle, Neptune, Tunis, Larry, Trina, Mogadishu, Punjab, Kanye, Montreal, Bronx, Miami, Sao Paulo, Lisbon, Dudley, The Apple, Rio, Douro, Muscat, Moscow, Tinsel, Curly, Memphis, Brixton, Paris, Hackers, Watts, Flipside, Kyler, Monster, Simha, Oslo, Swanee,
I can see the darkness in me, and it's quite amazing. Life and death is not mystery, and I want to taste it. Step aside of my mind, and you'll find curiosity. Reminisce on my wonder years, and I wonder, yeah. Sentiments of my words ain't been so sincere. The sentiment to my nerve that I just persevere. The big thought of falling off disappeared to my faith. They say their head is real. Analyze my demise, I say I'm super anxious. Recognize I deprive this feeling, then embrace it. Vandalizing these walls only if they can talk. Conversations on contemplate to my dark thoughts. Looking down on my soul now. Tell me I'm in control now. Tell me I can live long and I can live wrong and I can live right and I can sing song and I can unite with you that I love, you that I like. Look at my life and tell me I fight. This that final destination. This that fancy information. This that fancy inspiration. This that crack the installation. This that quantum jumping that fist pumping that bomb detonation. Please don't bomb my nation and bomb it flew away. And I got my control and I'm here. You gon' hate me when I'm gone. Ain't no blood pumping, no fear. I got hope inside of my bone. This that life beyond your own life. This ain't physical for mankind. This that outer body experience. No coincidence, you've been dying. You're shit.
Might be familiar to Kaleidoscope listeners. That's Caribou. Their new song is Can't Do It Without You. That's from their latest album. And before that, we heard Flying Lotus, and we started off with Shabazz Palace's the cover artist on the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. We've got the editor, Dave Obenauer, in the house. And we were talking about Shabazz Palace's, but let's talk about Flying Lotus a little bit. Really loving that release.
Yeah, Flying Lotus, like, I actually wrote this down in my notes. You can set your clock to Ghetto Blaster doing stories on Flying Lotus, because he pretty much every time an album comes out, maybe sometimes we set an album out just because, I don't know, how much has happened in the last 2 years. But yeah, every time it comes out, it's just an incredible work. And I think the thing that was so cool about the interview we were able to get with him this time, it was just such a humanizing look at him. Like, you get this, you know, some of the success that he's experienced, where he's talking about these stories about meeting Snoop Dogg and meeting Dr. Dre and, like, you know, just basically wanting to break down in tears when he's hanging out with Dre, because it's just like, oh my gosh, when I was a kid, I idolized you, and here I am, you're treating me like a peer. And it's cool. It's cool when you get to see these human elements in your performers.
That's got to be a fun story to tell, you know, not just your typical, you know, rock star, rap star, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call it, your typical, you know, music, you know, superstardom, but to get to hear somebody who's really reveling in achieving their dreams in a very real way.
Sure. And I mean, it probably goes a little bit more with the backpacker hip hop that we sort of cover. But I mean, there is just this sort of humility. But it's cool. Like, I mean, you can't deny Dr. Dre, like, no matter.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, it's just amazing stuff. And it's very cool to get those stories and to have people open up. And like, I think, you know, our interview, Kyle Eustace did a great job in that, and she, you know, Flying Lotus admitted, like, I haven't told this story before, and like, that's cool. It's cool when you're able to get those sort of very human moments and insights into an artist.
And the Caribou album is one that's really been catching my ear. I've loved their previous work, and this one is just it's a really, really fun offering. What made that one stand out to you guys?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think part of it is just like I've been helping Leo DeLuca of Misra Records out recently with some of the releases he's been doing, including helping with some tour press on Crooks on Tape, who, of course, is local, well, used to be local guy here.
Native Sons.
Yeah, who's also spent some time with Caribou. But, I mean, before that I knew him, I think I saw him maybe play Pitchfork. I don't know, 5, 6, I'm old, years ago. But not, just a great performer, and it was cool just to see, like, I mean, he's got the Manitoba, he's got the Caribou. I think he DJs under his own name. Like, he's got all these different projects, and just to see how, like, each sort of feeds the other, but at the same time, like, you know, he sections it off. Like, I think he did a couple of mix releases he's been studying over in England. And I think in the article, he talks a little bit about the trepidation in returning to a Caribou album. Like, how am I going to do it? How will I construct it? How is it a Caribou record as opposed to just one of these mixes that I'm doing? So, I mean, like, you could definitely hear that sort of dance hall influence on what he's doing, but it's still definitely more of a band effort.
For sure, for sure. Now we're going to move into some heavier stuff.
Yes.
Moving into the heavier part of the evening. We're going to start off with a new one from Mazes.
Yeah, and Mazes is the precursor to ease you in, so your precious National Public Radio ears don't get too tainted by all the darkness I'm bringing upon them. But Mazes is a Manchester, England band, and they're more ramshackly than they are dark, kind of like... you could think of Pavement, or if you want to stay on their side of the Atlantic, you could think of early Teenage Fan Club. But just really cool guy-girl harmonies. I don't know. Slacker stuff. Awesome. You can't beat it.
And then we'll move into some Electric Wizard. Do you want to give anybody a little preview of what they're going to hear with that? Or do we want to just let them hear it and tell them about it afterwards?
We'll tell them about it after.
All right. Sounds good. Here's one from Mazes. This is Salford. And we're talking about artists you can find in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine with our guest, Dave Obenauer, the editor. We'll have your chance to win your very own copy of the latest issue coming up. But first, take a listen to this one.
My head torn.
That was music from Merkur. That is one of the artists that is covered in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. We've got the editor, Dave Obenauer, in the house. Tell me about Merkur. That was pretty great.
Merkur, and I think you're going to like this even more. Okay. Merkur is a single Danish woman.
Yes.
She is the one behind yes. what you just heard. I love it. Like going with this whole black metal persona, like she doesn't let her real name out there. It's all done anonymously. Like even the picture you'll see in the magazine, she's got this big coat with the collar pulled up over her face. But yeah, I mean, black metal is a very, you know, masculine centric world. So it's cool to see artists like this coming in there. And I think in the article she was talking about, like, well, she was talking with her Swedish friend. It's like, you're not a man or you're a woman, you're a musician.
Right.
And, you know, this is what you're bringing out there. But in the same sense, like, it's cool. It's just cool to see, like, women creating this music, too, and just opening up what can be a very closed genre.
For sure. And you know... Great, solid music as well. And definitely metal and black metal, especially, you don't think of a lot of women being a part of that musical world, even as fans,
yeah.
let alone as performers. So,
yeah, I saw
cool.
Skeleton Witch play at Odd Bodies here in Dayton maybe like 2-3 weeks ago. Maybe 2-3 women.
Right.
There.
Yeah.
Actually, there could have been more. But yeah, overall, very male dominated genre.
For
but
sure.
Come on, ladies. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come to the dark side.
Okay. And before that, we heard Electric Wizard, which I loved.
Yeah.
That was great.
Electric Wizard also has a female member, which is another rad count on their side. They're cool. They are the band, the gateway band for Ghetto Blaster and metal. We did a feature with them on their album. It was either Black Mass or Witch Cult Today. One of those. But yeah, just saying crazy things like, we record all our stuff analog because Terminator was only 20 years ago. You guys already forgotten.
That's amazing.
This album, they were just talking about how disillusioned they are with everyone and how people were just, you know, being very negative towards them. So they dubbed it the Summer of Hate, and they wanted to make the most sinister record possible.
Straight out of Metalocalypse. I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. And it's weird because in the same sense, like going back to what we were talking about with Flying Lotus, like you get this human side in some of these interviews, like where you see like... You know, he's bellyaching about the English countryside. He talks about how, you know, oh, sure, it looks picturesque on a postcard, but we've got enough prostitutes and drug problems for, you know, anyone's appetite. But then he also says, but I don't want to just bellyache the whole time. So you see this underside, like it's not just this, you know, black mascara and Satan all the time.
The softer side of metal.
That's right.
What do we want to play for folks next, or do we want to go ahead and give them a chance to pick up their very own copy?
Yeah, let's do
okay.
that.
Okay, all right. We have a couple copies of Ghetto Blaster magazine that Dave has generously brought and is offering up. What number or caller should we start with?
Two.
Two? All right. So caller 2 at 937-769-1998. That's 937-769-1998. Win your very own copy of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. And while people are going to their phone before we hear some more music, what's been happening on the website? I see all kinds of great digital coverage popping up from you guys.
Absolutely. Tim's been cranking on a lot of the top whatever, however much the artist wants to provide of the year list, which has just been great. We've got some really good posts up there. I know I've got a couple of board games reviews in the pipes that I've been meaning to get up there for a while, including Sons of Anarchy, an amazing Sons of Anarchy game. Like, I'm not generally a fan of branded games because normally that equals pretty lazy design, but I think it was Gale Force 9? I want to say it was Gale Force 9 who designed this game, but they did a stellar job. Speaking quickly of board games, we have, for even the most peripheral of board gaming fans, we've got Alan R. Moon, who is the designer of Ticket to Ride in the most current issue, too. He's talking about some of the things he's got on deck, some of the things he's appreciating. But yeah, so some gaming reviews coming up, a bunch of end of the year lists. Tim is constantly putting up new interviews, as well as his awesome podcast too, the Sound Check Chat or something. It's on the website. There's an ad to the right side. You'll see it, and that's some really quality stuff too.
Great, great. Well, let's hop back to the music and we'll grab some phones. 937-769-1998. Win your very own copy of the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster magazine. What do we want to go to next musically?
Blonde Redhead?
Yeah, let's do some Blonde Redhead. I love these guys. This is a new one from them. We'll tell you more about it here in a second. But in the meantime, be sure to call in 937-769-1998.
You're so bright. footprints on mountains. You made a change in old dirt. We showed each other what we're good at. We taught each other self-worth. We yelled so loudly that we hurt each other's ears. And that summer we all made a pact to face our fears. And the night I met your dad and your older brother. And I wish I could have been there to have met your mother. And I wish you could have been there to have met my father. When he wasn't always in pain. And some doctor's new project. It's just everything is always a countdown. Let's take time away. Too fast now, or am I trailing at a snail's pace?
From Dads. It's called Take Back Today. Before that, we had Generationals doing Black Lemon. We started off with Blonde Redhead from their new album. We're chatting with Dave Obenauer, the editor of Ghetto Blaster magazine. Those three artists are artists that you can read about in the latest issue that's available now. Give me a quick rundown on kind of the notable tidbits on each of those artists.
Sure. Well, Dads was a band that Tim hyped me to. They're a duo from Ann Arbor. I'm hesitant to throw the classifications on it because this is a lot more Tim's world than mine, but I guess probably new wave emo would be a good way to pigeonhole them. But yeah, I'm very hit and miss on a lot of that stuff, but they've put out a couple of good albums on, I think, 613 Records. The other band we listened to, Generationals, are from New Orleans, which, I mean, you would not really expect from that kind of poppy sort of 80s sound that you got, almost custom made for some sort of car commercial that you haven't seen yet. But no, I've always really dug Generationals. They used to be on this old label, Park the Van, which was also home to the High Strung, but they're now on Polyvinyl. And Polyvinyl just has a great way of getting those sort of indie pop bands, bands that have some real depth to them. I don't know. It, just the whole New Orleans thing was kind of interesting to me, too. Like, you just want to listen to it a little more and be like, well, how does where they're from affect that sound? And mm-hmm. how does it not? Because you can't deny that it's going to be somewhat of an influence. And then the kicking off that block, we had Brain Freeze.
Blonde Redhead,
that's right. Which just great, great, long-standing indie rock trio. It was interesting. Like, I mean, with that, the kind of story we got from them was just about, as a long-standing indie rock band, all that comes with that, how you kind of have to put your life on pause while you go out on tour, and you have to kind of ask your friends to wait for you to come back, and just how that affects your life. And it was interesting, too, because the main sort of inspiration for this album comes off of the singer's love of horses, and just how she gets really sad when she's out on the road because she just kind of wants to be back with her horses, but also how being out on the road, it was either Spain or Mexico, where she engaged this architect that she just kind of was out looking at some of his buildings on an off day of the tour, and then read about like how he was a big lover of horses too, and just how that affected his architecture. So just seeing how it all kind of wrapped into the new album of theirs.
And it is really interesting, Blonde Redhead as a band that is kind of, they've been an indie rock mainstay, but they haven't broken through in the way that many of the bands of that era. I kind of lump them in with a lot of the bands that were sort of just gaining a bit of notoriety, like when I started in college radio like 10 years ago, and you see bands like Blonde Redhead who have been a mainstay, and then you see bands like the Arcade Fire and the Decemberists who have blown up in a very big way, in an almost mainstream way. So it's really interesting to sort of chart those paths for these different groups of that era.
In my mind, I always thought that Spoon has a big rivalry with Arcade Fire.
And yeah, yeah.
I don't think it's true, but I was just thinking if I were in Spoon and then I saw how much this other band mm-hmm. from Merge blew up, I'm like, hey, come on. We're Spoon.
We're Spoon, yeah.
Yeah, it's adorable what you're doing there, but Spoon.
I can totally see that, yeah. New Pornographers I'd lump in there as well.
Yeah, and they're another artist featured in this new issue, too. Yeah, there was a bunch of stuff that we weren't able to get to. Shellac is a huge favorite of mine. They did not make the interview easy on us. Just there with all, I don't know, Steve Albini's a bit of a prickly pear, but he's also an amazing musician, an amazing producer. We've got Black Angels in there, New Pornographers, as I mentioned, Dilated Peoples, Planet Asia, Yob. We did a feature on Cinemax's The Nick, which is pretty rad,
which
too.
Everybody's been telling me I need to watch.
Yeah.
So.
I actually haven't seen it yet either, but I have read the interview and I really want to. And there's an interview on the website with the guy who did the soundtrack for that, who was in some DC, I don't think it was a Discord band, but some DC-based band whose name escapes me, ghettoblastermagazine.com.
It is that time of night. Well, Dave, it has been a pleasure, as always. I really appreciate you coming in and hipping us to some new sounds. And, of course, everybody, check out ghettoblastermagazine.com for all kinds of updates in between issues. And the new issue is out now, available on newsstands.
Here in the Miami Valley, you can get it at Toxic Beauty here in Yellow Springs, as well as Omega Mega and Ghostlight in Dayton. We're also at some chains as well. Your Second and Charles, your Barnes and Noble. If they don't have it, yell at them, throw books and push down shelves
Pause
and be
scene.
Like, what's wrong with you? This is the best music magazine in the world.
You heard it here, folks. We're going to go out on one more artist that's featured in the latest issue of Ghetto Blaster. Here are Growlers doing Chinese Fountain. And Dave, thank you so much.
Thank you.